Amen. Amen. What a great God we serve. You may be seated. It's a nice looking group of folks this morning. Y'all get better looking all the time. Let me just make sure I didn't miss anybody in that assessment, all right? Praise the Lord. Today has already been a special day in the way the Lord has touched my heart. Our worship that just brings us into the very presence of a mighty and awesome God. I'm going to begin, and I'm going to close, and in between, there's going to be a testimony. And I'll say a little more about that once I just set the tone from the scripture from Hebrews 11, first six verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and though through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As I thought about the testimony that Tommy will share this morning, and as I thought about testimonies in general, I just want to say this. I was drawn to this passage where a good testimony is mentioned twice. And it struck me that our good testimony does not focus on the past failures. We can mention those because we've all had enough of them. And none of us would want them all to be known. We've had them. That's why we're here as sinners saved by grace. The testimony is about the faithfulness of God. It's about coming to the one who says, without faith it's impossible to please me, but when you put your faith in me, I am very well pleased. That's the testimony. Whether you grew up with 40 years of perfect attendance in Sunday school or never darkened a church door until you were 80, we find ourselves in that place in the need of grace. And whether it's a long, long journey or a short trip, our testimony is about the faithfulness of God. I've known Tommy Dean for over 40 years. Some of you know Tommy Dean. If you don't know him personally, said I read his name in the paper once or twice. I love Tommy Dean. I've known him since he was a teenage boy who caused me trouble on school bus. I've been with him through his good times and his bad times, the ups and the downs. But for the last however long period, through a lot of those ups and downs, I think something pretty significant has happened in his life, and I felt that I would be blessed and you would be blessed to hear where his testimony is today. So Tommy, I ask you to come. And I've been instructed to tell everybody who speaks today to keep this microphone close to your mouth so you don't get a lot of waving here and there. And he's been sick with the flu. But I'm going to pray for you, Tommy, before you share whatever's on your heart. Father, I just ask that this testimony would be a good testimony to the faithfulness of God in one man's life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Yeah, keep it close.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
If you speak loud.
I ain't too good to this microphone. But, Terry Morrison, he said that some people here know me, most people here know me. are the ones that don't have heard of me. I don't want to glorify nothing out of my life in any way. I just like to glorify what Jesus has done in my life. I'm awful nervous to be up here, real nervous. So you'll just, and I really don't know what I'm supposed to say, so I'm just going to say what's on my heart. First of all, I'll tell you how powerful Jesus is, because I'm able to stand up in front of this podium today, because if I got what I deserved, I sure wouldn't be standing up here. Terry Morrison said he'd known me for 40 years. I've been through a lot with Terry Morrison, but more, he's been through a lot with me. And he's believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. He's one of the finest men I ever met. And everybody here is honored to have him stand up in front of this podium every Sunday. You know, I hurt a lot of people in my family and my people that love me. People had faith in me. You know, there's people sitting right here in this church right now that had faith in me years ago when I didn't have it in myself. Miss Ransdell back there, about a month ago, I was just sitting in church and it made me feel I need to go back there and tell her how much I appreciated the things she'd done for me and said to me when I was younger, when she didn't think it mattered, but it mattered. Fine lady, awful fine lady. I tell you what, it's hard to stand up here. I don't say you stand up here every Sunday. I don't see that. Well, just a little about my life. I was raised in the church, Ebenezer Church of Christ. Went to Sunday school there, and I gave my life to Jesus when I was about 12 years old. Or the Bible says, if you believe in me, if you believe I died, Son of God, and died on the cross and rose in 3 days, you're saved. Okay, well, I believed that when I was young. And I believe if anything had happened to me in my life between then and now, I would be in heaven. I believe that because that's what the Bible says. He didn't say believe in me and do good and do this and do that. He said believe in me. Because if it was anything about what a person does, I couldn't be up here. It's Jesus he's the one that saved. I'm riding on him. It's his blood that saved me. Not what I've done, not the past things I've done, and not the things I'm going to do. That ain't going to get me to heaven. You know, it's the blood of Jesus that's going to get me. And I know that. And, you know, anyway, I was raised in the church. And like I say, I was baptized as 12 years old. And I was raised in an alcoholic family. My grandparents are some of the finest people that ever lived. Some of the people here in the church know them. But I grew up thinking that I had to do good for God to love me, you know. So I was raised, if you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you get bad. Well, I've come to realize, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, there ain't no bad comes from God.
Okay.
None. It's all good. You know, he'll let you, the bad that comes to a person in their life is just the freedom of choice that he gives you, and you have that freedom. I had that freedom, and I thought I knowed everything because I'm the hard-headedest person in this church. I guarantee you. And I'm harder to learn a lesson than anybody in this church. And I don't listen to too much what people say, you know, because I think I know everything. Well, I don't know anything at all. I don't know nothing. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah, okay. If you keep it closer.
Well, I don't know about this microphone. but and so my own decisions and my own bad choices, and God let me run my life. You know, when I run it till I run it in the ground. You know, I studied the Bible a lot. Of course, everybody here knows I've been in the penitentiary not once, twice, two or three times. You know, but, you know, it's kind of like a think tank for me. Kind of stepped me back out of the world. And when I was there, I tried to study the Bible and learn. And I kept trying to figure out why it seemed other people could go on and do good. And I couldn't, no matter how much I wanted to, you know, because I loved Jesus. I did. But I didn't love him enough to give him all of me, you know. I still wanted to run the show. Today I don't run the show. I give it to him. And you know, and he's making any change that's in me. I haven't done anything in any way. Jesus has made every one of those changes. You know, today I have a good relationship with my family, my children, my grandchildren. I have a beautiful fiance. Why she puts up with me, I don't know. You know, but you know, and I owe all that glory to Jesus, because it's his grace. By his grace I'm standing here, in his mercy. Nothing I've done or nothing I will do. It's all about the blood of Jesus. You know, it says in the end of times that, you know, it won't be people not believing in God. It'll be people not believing in Jesus Christ, believing in his power, his blood. That's what the end of times, when people ain't going to believe that Jesus' blood can save you from everything. I don't have to worry about it, because I sin every day. And I'm going to continue to sin every day in many ways. Hopefully, you know, Jesus will change those, I feel, when he wants to change them. But I know today I ain't got to think he don't love me, you know, that God has put me off to the side because I had a bad thought or because I'd done something bad. He loves me right on. And I know that today. And that's what's changing. That's what's made the changes in my life. Because I've stood up and talked in front of people, but it was at AA meetings, mm-hmm. You know, and call that a drunk log is what you call that. Mm-hmm. When you get up and talk in AA meetings, that's a drunk log. You know, and I'd get up and tell them, my name's R.T. Dean, I'm an alcoholic and drug addict. Well, my name's R.T. Dean. And I ain't no alcoholic and drug addict anymore.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not recovering. Because the Bible says that old things has passed away and all things become new. And there's not a lie in the Bible, nowhere. So if that's true, I ain't no alcoholic and drug addict no more.
Amen.
I'm still a sinner every day. But I'm saved by Jesus' blood, by the grace of Jesus. It's the only reason I'm standing here. It took me a long time to realize that, because I wanted to run my own life and I wanted to do this. But when I guess you say, when I realized that if you keep running your life, you're going to die. You're not going to make it, and ain't nobody going to speak to you. Because I really surrendered to Jesus Christ when I didn't have nobody in my life but him. He was the only one that didn't, you know, leave me, because he was there all along. I left him daily, every day, you know. And it was hard for me to imagine that he could love me enough for the things I'd done and the way that I turned from him, that he would still be there for me. Well, I probably ain't the only one in this congregation today that's sinning, you know. And maybe some in different ways, some of us in different ways. But it don't matter if we do, as long as we believe in Jesus. His blood has got us. Because when he died on that cross, he paid for them sins we done committed. and the ones we're going to commit. They're done paid for. It's hard when you realize when you're 50 years old before you realize what you should have known all your life. Because like I say, I was raised in Sunday school and in church with my grandmother and my granddaddy. When Terry started singing that song there, How Great Thou Art, my granddaddy, he loved that song. And when he sung it, you could hear him all over the church. He was the loudest man there. And Terry knows that. And it brought back a lot of memories. I don't know what he'd think about me standing up here today. But I'm awful glad that I'm accepted in this congregation and that people here love me and everybody here is wonderful people. We all got our faults. I don't know if y'all do, but I sure got mine. I sure got plenty. I'm supposed to be giving a testimony. I don't know of anything to do but praise Jesus for what he's done for me. I don't know nothing else because I don't want, like Terry said, you're not, I guess people to judge by their past mistakes, which some people will always judge you by those. But really, I don't guess you have to worry about those people because all I have to worry about is Jesus. You know, he's cleansed me all that. Now, that don't mean I'm perfect, and that don't mean I'm going to do everything right, even probably the first 15 minutes after I walk out this door. You know, I'll do something wrong. But he's got me, and I know he does. But I don't really know what to say, except just to give the that I'm standing here by the grace of Jesus Christ. And I give him all the glory for the changes he's made in my life, you know. And I don't just love one or two people here. I love everybody here. And I want to thank you again for accepting me in this congregation and for not judging me for my past mistakes. And, you know, I come up here to talk about two men. And it was Terry Morrison. It's one of them. And Jesus Christ, because he's a man and he's here and he's real and he's right here with us. Because I found out how real he was when I surrendered, when I gave it up to him, everything. Not just part of it, not, okay, I'm going to give you this, but I want to keep this. I give him every part of my life. And I said, you take it away when you want to. From the day I done that, I've never craved another drug. I've never thought about taking another drink of alcohol, nothing. He's real and he's powerful. So powerful that I can't fathomize how powerful he is. You know, like I say, I was raised, if you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you get bad, which is the furthest thing from the truth that there is. Because, you know, I'm not a very good speaker. That I know that. I figured that out pretty quick. I better keep making my living with a hammer and a tape measure because I can't make it up here and I can't sing, you know. So, again, about Terry Morrison, 40 years. That's a long time. He said he'd seen the good and the bad and ugly about me. Not one time, not once, has that man ever gave up on me. And I told him out here a while back how proud I was to be able to tell him that, you know, you never gave up on me and you believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And you know what he said? He don't take no glory for nothing. Because he said, Jesus, don't never give up on you. You know, the man don't stand up here and preach the Bible and tell us. He lives it every day in every way. I was on a job in Lexington, and I met a woman, and she got to talking about over in Bourbon County about this fine man. Come to find out, it was Terry Morrison's daddy. And I told her, I said, well, he couldn't have been no finer man than his son, because he's one of a kind in my eyes. Just like Jesus is one of a kind in my eyes. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can change you. I don't need no 12 steps. I need one step, and that was stepping to Jesus. That's the only step I needed to get rid of my addiction of alcohol and drugs. And I tried it for years in AA meetings, rehabs, halfway back, all the way back. You know, they let me try everything, and it didn't cure it until I surrendered to Jesus Christ. And when I give it to him, truly give it to him. But that ain't all I give him, because I got a whole lot more problems than alcohol and drugs. A whole lot more. I give him all of it, and I see that he's removing some of it in his pace, you know, not mine, because I'd like to have it all like that. Like the world we live in, everything is instant. You know, we want it right now. Well, I don't think this walk with Jesus is right now, but I think it's personal. And I think my walk with Jesus is different than y'all's walk with Jesus, and each and every person here is different. That's what I believe. That's why I can't judge nobody about their relationship with Jesus, because it's personal. That's what he said. He wanted it to be personal. It is a personal relationship. I know I can stand here today and say I love Jesus more than anything. And I'm so thankful for what he's done in my life and the changes that he's made, because I haven't made any. And I guess I've been up here talking about long enough. I mean, I don't know nothing else to say but give the glory to Jesus Christ. He's the one that's changed my life.
Yeah, thank you. I know a lot of folks when I'm preaching thinks I've been up here long enough, but it never has fazed me too much, Tommy. But I promise you that I will not overburden or in any way detract from the personal testimony that Tommy has given. I would only say, please don't anyone go away from here after hearing this testimony and in any way conclude that he put Jesus and me in the same category and in the same breath, okay? Because I can honestly say, my testimony could be like his, in terms of how much I need Jesus. And no matter what we're dealing with, he's the only one that really can make a difference. And I'm beginning to believe that more and more in my heart as I look at all the complexities of this culture in which we live and all of its problems. And it would sound so simplistic, but it would be so true to just say, if everybody got right with Jesus, our cultural problems and our social problems would almost vanish, because we'd be striving to live as we should. We'd be loving one another. We'd be forgiving one another. We would have this humility instead of pride that says we're all in need of the Lord. And we wouldn't be self-seeking and trying to impose our will on other folks. And so to wrap up with the scripture with which I began, would you see that maybe in the way that you've already seen it, but it was new to me when I read Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. I always focused on faith and missed the fact that it was a testimony. By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. And the essence is faith, and the essence is absolute trust in Christ. Because verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible, impossible to please God. I thought this morning, there's so many things that are kind of a mystery. So many things that we don't fully understand. Things really about heaven and the life beyond. Or even the mysteries of the why things happen to us that happen. And I think that God has designed life to hold many of these mysteries so that we are forced to make a choice to decide whether we will live by faith or whether we will live by our own sight and understanding. God is pleased when we trust Him implicitly. We're not supposed to have faith in faith. Without faith, which is absolute trust in God. And let me ask you, who can you trust? Trust is something that requires a great deal of experience with the trustworthiness of a person. We don't tend to trust somebody who has let us down, stabbed us in the back, consistently been unfaithful. But God is calling us to trust Him implicitly. And through the Bible, we learn that God is a God that is trustworthy and worthy of all of our faith because He is good. Settle that in your heart. He is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. That's more than a cliche. That's true. He's faithful. And when you don't understand something or I don't understand something, God does not immediately become suspect. I have to humble myself and ask for understanding. So it is by faith that those elders obtained a good testimony. Abraham was pleasing to God, had a good testimony. These were all men and women of faith. And just as Tommy said in his testimony, it was not their successes or their failures that gave them a good testimony. Abraham had plenty of failures. He deceived the king of Egypt by saying that his wife was his sister to save his own skin. Jacob was a supplanter and a deceiver. David and all the great men and women of the Bible are with their flaws. It was not either their flaws that made them unacceptable nor their good deeds that made them acceptable. It was their faith in the absolute goodness and faithfulness of God. And so the question is for you and for me this morning, are you living your life by faith? And that is something in which we grow. We must first believe that He exists, according to Hebrews 11:6. And a large portion of people believe that. Some do not. But a part of that faith is believing that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him, trust Him. So if we put our sights on seeking God, on trusting Him, in giving over every situation to His sovereign power and purpose, you're His child if you believe in Him, as Tommy said. If you've given your life, if you've made the good confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who is indeed God in the flesh, come to effect salvation through His sinless life, death on the cross, and subsequent resurrection from the dead on the third day, and that He ever lives the right hand of the Father interceding for us, that relationship, because if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, the Bible says you shall be saved. From that point on, the life of faith is one of ever-growing and trusting God, not only with your soul, because that's secure, but trusting Him with the day-to-day events of your daily living. He is sovereignly in charge, and majestically wonderful and good. No wonder today we sang, "How great is our God. How great He is. How great is His faithfulness." I see that the worship team had picked a grand old song, and Mike, I'd like to use that, "The Old Rugged Cross." Because at the heart of this faith and this salvation, there does stand a cross on which the Son of God gave His life as a ransom. I look around. I don't know every person here intimately in the depths of your heart. Most everyone that I see and know here, I believe you've confessed Jesus and you have Him as your Lord and Savior. Today may be just a good day to worship Him and renew your faith and trust in the one who died on that old rugged cross. We've had a wonderful, worshipful kind of experience today. And this grand old hymn takes us back to the heart of the gospel and the heart of our relationship with Him. And what a wonderful thing to hear a testimony about the faithfulness of God. The Bible says, and I would tell you this as the worship team comes, in 1 Timothy, there's this wonderful passage that says, if we are faithless, He is faithful because He cannot deny Himself. If you've put your trust in God, Paul said, "I am convinced that what I've committed to Him, He is able to keep against that day." Let's renew our faith. Stand with me. Sing about the wonderful cross. And if you need something to happen in your life today, then you take that to the Lord. If you want to come and have the elders pray for you, anoint you, anything that's on your heart that you need, this is your time to respond to the Lord.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best I see. 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died.
I know Bonnie, who's here for prayer this morning, to be anointed with oil by the elders, would appreciate your prayers as well, as she faces some surgery on the 18th of November. So add Bonnie Billock to your prayers as she'll be having surgery on the 18th. Praise the Lord. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. You are dismissed with the love of Christ. Greet one another with that love. And if you have a need for prayer, we'll still be here to meet with you privately today.